Good morning, church. It's nice to have all of you. It's so blessed to worship with you again this morning. We're ready in the last week of November, and we're coming into the last month of this year. Today is also the first Sunday of our Advent journey. What excites us at this time of the year is not only our vacations, but this Christmas season. This upcoming Christmas might look very different from past ones that we had. Most likely, we're not going to be able to see the Christmas lights all over the place, or go to Stanley Park or Lafarge Lake, which is also a popular place. I don't think they're going to have it this year. We're not going to be able to go to Christmas market, having some really good hot chocolate. With some really good treats. Maybe having a Christmas banquet with a church family is not also possible this year. But the meaning of Christmas, the whole purpose, the whole meaning of Christmas has not changed. It stays the same. As he says, Christmas is about celebrating the one who has come to us as God Emmanuel, God with us. There's one more thing that has not changed for us, not just Christmas, and that is the God-given purpose of our lives. And this is what we talked about last time, how God made us for the purpose of being fruitful and multiply, making spiritual children to fill the earth with the glory of God. And this is what Jesus meant by making disciples. This is what the Holy Spirit meant by being witness of Jesus Christ. This is the whole purpose of our existence, of our being. This is the reason why God made us to be fruitful and multiply. However, it is true that this grand purpose of God can feel very ambiguous. And sometimes you're not really able to relate to this in our practical and personal lives. How can I live a fruitful life? How can I truly live according to this God-given purpose? What does it look like to be fruitful and multiply? What does it look like to have the gospel multiplication in my life? That's the question that we want to answer through this message. We're in John 12 again, Jesus now in Jerusalem, and it's time for the crucifixion is approaching to him, and Jesus in this passage describing his whole life in a nutshell by saying, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Jesus describes his whole life as a grain of wheat falling down to the earth and dies and bearing many fruits. That was basically how Jesus lived. That was a description of Jesus' life in a nutshell. Jesus did not tell us many ways to live a fruitful life. He didn't confuse us, but showed us one way. And he himself lived a simple life. He lived a life that was driven by one single God-given purpose. And it was the cross. He lived to die. He lived with this mission and God-given purpose in his life to be fruitful and multiply by taking up his cross. By laying down his life, he knew that it would bear much fruit. And that's the whole reason why you and I are able to worship him this morning. Because Jesus Christ himself died as a grain of wheat and bearing much fruit like you and I. And all the global churches that we see in the world. This is his fruit. You and I are the fruits of Jesus. As we look into Jesus' life right now, how can I live according to God's purpose? How can I be fruitful and multiply? How can I make disciples? He tells us clearly, and it's the only one way, just like how he described himself. If you want to bear a fruit, you need to do what? You need to die. You need to be this grain of wheat falling down to the ground and die. This is the only way to make the fruits that pleases God. He's telling us, if anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. He also said in Luke 9, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The same thing in Matthew 16, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Again in Mark 8, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Again and again, in all the four Gospels, Jesus clearly shows us in order for us to live a fruitful life, we need to take up our cross and die to ourselves. That's the only way. He doesn't show us just confusing, different, pluralistic ways to live a fruitful life like our culture does. He shows us the one way, the way that he went, the way of the cross, the way that we take up our cross and we die to ourselves. That's the only way to live a fruitful life. That's the only way to live according to God's purpose, as he clearly shows us today. So here, what we need to see is that Jesus is not telling us to carry our cross when he's not. So we need to understand this Jesus' words, because when we hear about this, you know, these words that you need to take up your cross, we automatically, you know, maybe some of us feel like, oh, this is too burdensome. You know, carrying my cross. I mean, I heard it every time, but it feels like it's very hard to bear. It's hard to do. It almost feels like it's impossible to do it. How can I carry my cross like Jesus did? So one thing that we need to understand here, as Jesus is telling us to carry our cross, is that Jesus is not telling us to carry our cross when he's not. He's not telling us to deny ourselves when he's not. Rather, he tells us to carry our cross because he carries his. What does that mean? He tells us to carry our cross based on his cross for us. He told us to be where he is. He explained how we are the branches connected to him in John 15, and he's the vine. And that connection between Christ and us is what brings a fruitful life. That's the unity which empowers us to carry our cross. The call to carrying our cross, denying ourselves, living a fruitful life, the call to gospel multiplication and live for his glory is ultimately not just assignment or homework that we need to do it on our own, but carrying our cross is a call for forming the connection between Christ and ourselves. In short, the cross of Christ is what enables us to carry our cross. In the cross of Christ, there's sufficient grace. There's love, forgiveness. There's the power of the Holy Spirit. There's wisdom, wisdom of God. There's everything that we need in the cross of Christ that will enable us to carry our cross. So Jesus isn't just leaving us as orphans and telling us what to do. He's saying to us, you can carry your cross because I'm taking up mine. And the cross that I carry will enable you, give you sufficient grace to carry yours. So this is the reason why we're looking at his cross today. This is the reason why we're looking at the way that how he carried his cross. Look at verse 27. This is what Jesus said after he described himself as a grain of wheat. He said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. If we see this verse in NIV, it says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. So how is Jesus right now here? He says his soul is troubled as he's carrying his cross. Why is his soul troubled? Is it because he's lacking something? He's lacking faith? Lacking spiritual maturity? Lacking wisdom? I mean, why is Jesus so troubled? Is it because it's a lack of faith in the promise of God? And we certainly know that that's not the case. I mean, doesn't he know everything? Isn't he the perfect Son of God? Then why is there so much suffering? Why is there, you know, troubled heart that he has? I mean, what does this show us about carrying cross, living according to God's purpose? It shows us, no matter how spiritually mature we are, no matter how wise we are, no matter how experienced we are, no matter how old we are, no matter how we have experienced the grace of God in a great way, there's always and there will be always the kind of suffering we will inevitably face in order for us to carry our cross. And this is a difficult part. Why? Because our culture says, run away from suffering. So when following Christ requires suffering, our culture says, our sinful nature says, run away from it. Do everything you can to prepare yourself for any possible suffering in your life. To minimize your suffering as much as you can in your life, you should sacrifice anything to preserve, protect your life. And here what Jesus is saying is completely opposite, right? He said, don't run away from it. Don't try to preserve your life. Go face the suffering, and you gotta suffer well. You need to do that in order for you to follow me. And that's what Jesus himself is doing as well. When he said, Father, save me from this hour. No, I'm not going to ask my Father to save me. Why? Because this is the very reason why I came to this hour. He's saying, should I run away from it? Should I just cancel my plan? Should I just quit everything and go back to my Father's house? He could. He certainly could. He's saying, should I preserve my life from it? Should I run away from any kind of suffering and hardships that's ahead of me? Should I minimize the pain as much as possible? Should I cancel all my plan and live in peace? And his answer is no. Why? Because this is the reason why I am here. I'll face it. I'll run into it. This is what Jesus meant when he said in John 10, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. Watch this. But I lay down of my own accord. He's willingly doing this. He's not doing this by obligation. He's not doing this by force. He's willingly doing this. He's willingly walking this path. He delights in doing this. He's willingly embracing his cross and his life and his purpose. And this is why Isaiah 53 explained Jesus like this. He was despised and rejected by man, and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. We esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. This is how the Bible described Jesus' life. His life was full of sorrow. His nickname here is that he was a man of sorrow. His life was full of suffering and rejection and loneliness. So here's my question for all of us this morning. Who wants to live like Jesus? I mean, don't we sing songs about this all the time? That we want to be more like Jesus? Don't we pray like this? Don't we ask our God that we'll be more like Jesus? Isn't that our prayer to God? Who wants to live like Jesus among us? A man of sorrow. Who wants to live a life that is despised by people? Like, oh, who wants to live a lonely life? All alone, betrayed by his best friends. Who wants to live a life full of rejection and attacks and criticism? Who wants to be crucified? Who wants to do it? Who wants to be shamed? Do you think I'm asking these questions because I want to live like this? No. I don't want to live a lonely life. I don't want to live a life of rejection. I don't want to live a depressing life at all. I don't want to live like that. I'm going to try my best to avoid from it as much as I can. We don't want to live like this. But when we say that, what we are really saying is we don't want to live like Jesus. No matter what songs that we sing, no matter what Bible verse that we recite, no matter how much Bible knowledge that you have, no matter what title you have, no matter how experienced you are, how wise you are, if you don't want to face your suffering in your life and in my life, we don't want to live like Jesus. I don't want to be a man of sorrows. If you're honest with God and with ourselves, this will be our honest confession, right? Maybe that's the reason why we have come to believe in Jesus as well. Because I don't want to live a life full of sorrows. I want some hope. I want some comfort. I want some encouragement. I want some meaning and purpose in my life. And by embracing our lives and our cross, actually that's something that God is trying to give us. The eternal comfort, eternal encouragement, eternal purpose. But there's only one way to live like Jesus. This is the only way that will enable us to willingly embrace our suffering in life. This is the only way to take up our cross, and that is we can embrace our suffering when we find a meaning in it. Not a meaningless suffering, not a meaningless loneliness, not a meaningless depression. That's not something God is giving us. Look at Isaiah 53 again, starting from verse 5. It says, "But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace. With his wounds we are healed." And watch this. After he did all of that, after he took up the cross, out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. There was joy, satisfaction in his suffering, in his cross. Why? Because that brought many people to salvation. You and I. Jesus was able to find this ultimate satisfaction in his sorrows because it has brought us the eternal salvation. In the same way, how are we able to take up our cross, embracing our sufferings to follow Jesus? Because when we do it, there's salvation of others. Through preaching of the truth, leading other people to God, by giving myself away for the world, there's salvation of people through my life based on what Christ did on the cross. But through my obedience, that's how God reflects himself to the world. When we become a grain of wheat falling down, it bears much fruit only when it dies. We become fruitful and multiply by dying to ourselves, ultimately for what? Jesus shows us what it is. He says back in John 12, "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." Ultimately for the glory of God. This is the whole meaning that we can find when we take up our cross. That through us, through our lives, there will be fruits of we'll see people in our lives seeing the glory of God, becoming disciples. We'll see our lives as a way of God leading other people to himself. That was why Jesus was satisfied. And that's where our satisfaction is as well. So now allow me to give you some examples in our lives what this looks like. So as we know, we have a Christmas celebration for English congregation that's coming, and the Christmas celebration team has been meeting every Monday to prepare. So, it's mainly the QF and Clay leadership, it's the students, and you know, they're having midterms and assignments, and you know, they're quite busy, especially for, you know, students like right now, you know, doing most of the stuff online. I heard that there's a lot of workload as well, but they're still willing to serve God through this. But what made this team so difficult was because of this change of all the restrictions. That every single week, I saw that they gathered to prepare something, and the very next week, everything changed. And I saw that that just constantly happened. And especially with this new, the most recent restriction that they had, I mean, all of us had, was really giving them a big impact. Because they literally had to cancel all the plans that they had for the past few weeks. And they had to change everything again. So I knew about this, and past Monday, I was in the other room. I was taking care of Theo, because Esther was in the meeting. And I was just hanging out with Theo, just playing with him. And I knew that Esther was having a meeting. And all of a sudden, I heard the singing sound. It was the sound of this group of young people singing to God, worshiping God. You know what? They can easily cancel it. They could just go ahead and cancel it. Nobody will say anything to them, right? I mean, it's not like it's their work or something. They're volunteering. It's not like, you know, God's going to hate them when they cancel this event. No. They have their full freedom to cancel this event, especially with the new restrictions. But they chose to still serve God and worship God in this midst of chaos. And that's the picture that I'm talking about today. And that's exactly, I also believe, the theme of Christmas, right? I mean, look at how our Savior was born. He was born in the barn. Now, yes, he has some people, you know, coming to worship him. Three wise men and shepherds. But just think about this. If you are one of those people coming to worship Jesus, the picture that you see there, just, you know, baby Jesus, just the baby there, you know, Mary and Joseph are there, kind of sitting in the barn. It smells like horse poop. Three wise men bringing these treasures, not to the castle, to the barn. Have the shepherds. Like, everything in this picture is not ideal, right? Like, everything in this picture is something lacking. It's not ideal. It's really, really not matching with the glorious King of the universe. But God did that on purpose. Why? Because that's how Jesus was worshipped. That's how Jesus was born. Meaning, that will be how God will embrace our lives. As broken as it is, as sinful as it is, as imperfect as it is, as not ideal as it is, that is going to be the way that God's going to love us and embrace our lives. And I saw that glory in the Christmas celebration team, and I'm so proud of them. I'm also aware that among us, we have some depressed people these days. I mean, including myself, I mean, you know, we have a lot of you know, depressing moments that we face in these days. We see that a lot of cases are rising, and you know, there's more and more disconnection from people and friends that we can meet. So what should we say? Save me from this hour. Lord, just take this away from me. Why is God not answering my prayer? Is that the way that we should respond? Or should we say, save me from this hour? No, this is a life. As broken as it is, as ugly as it is, but this is a life that God's given me. And I'm going to embrace it. For those people who go to work every morning, work from home mostly, we're not just complaining or just blaming on some system. No. We say every morning, this is a job that God has given me. For this purpose, I have come to this hour. To parents and couples, this is the spouse that God's given me. This is the family that God's given me. For this purpose, I'm here today. For raising kids, these are the exact kids that God's given me. For this purpose, I'm here for them. For students, this is the school that God has sent me. This assignment, this final exam, this projects are not only coming from my professors, comes from God. And I have come for this. in this hour. This is how we achieve the grand purpose of God in our personal lives. This is how we become fruitful. This is how we glorify Him, just like how Jesus did, embracing our lives as it is. That's what it means to take up our cross. Not complaining, not blaming, not gossiping, not comparing, but looking at our lives and thankfully receive it and embrace it as it is. And find the grand purpose of God in it. So embrace your life today as broken as it is, as sinful as it is, as messed up as it is, as painful as it is, as depressing as it is. Embrace your life as it is. Take up your cross. Why? Because that's how God embraces us. That's how God loves us. That's how Jesus gave Himself for us. And every single little thing in our lives, we're going out to sow even today. Sow the seed. We're going out to work. We're going out to study. We're going out to make a living. In all the things that we do, we take up our cross, fulfill God's purpose in our lives by becoming who Jesus would be if He were me. And that's what Dallas Willard said. Discipleship is a process of becoming who Jesus would be if He were you. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Psalms 126. Isn't this the exact picture of what we are talking about today? That we are sowing the seed in tears every day. If we face the suffering, we embrace it. We're not running away from it. We run into it. We're going out to the field every day. We're facing our lives as it is. Whether that's a work or study or anything, we're sowing the seed. No matter what's happening, We keep on doing that. We keep on fulfilling the purpose that God's given me. We keep on embracing our lives. And he who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy. This is a promise of God. That when we keep on doing that, we choose to embrace our lives as it is. When we choose to embrace our church as it is. When we choose to embrace our community, embrace my family, embrace myself. In the love of God, there will be bearing of the fruits that will glorify God. And there will be the gospel multiplication happening in our lives. I'm going to end my message with this quote from the article named Talk to Your Tears. It's by John Piper. Say to your tears, tears, I feel you. You make me want to quit life. There's a field to be sown, dishes to be washed, car to be fixed, sermon to be written. Then say on the basis of God's word, tears, I know that you will not stay forever. The very fact that I just do my work, tears and all, will in the end bring a harvest of blessing. So go ahead and flow if you must. But I believe, though I do not yet see it or feel it fully, I believe that the simple work of my sowing will bring sheaves of harvest, and my tears will be turned to joy. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the life that you've given us, the purpose that you've put into our lives. Father God, we confess that many times we run away from any kind of suffering in life, and at the same time trying to follow you. And Lord, that's not working. Father God, you have given our lives as it is. As ugly as it is. As full of suffering as it is. As difficult as it is. Father God, this is the life that you've given us. Father God, taking up the cross is not, we have seen today, is not something ambiguous. It's right in front of our lives. It's about embracing our lives as it is. Father God, no matter what situation we are in, help us to continually worship you and choose to believe in you and trust in you. Because when we do that, we know. When we go to the field and sow the seed with tears, we know that we'll come home with the shouts of joy, with the sheaves of harvest, with the fruits that glorify your name. Do this, fulfill this in our lives, O God. Help us to be confidently and boldly embracing our lives today. We love you, Lord. And Father, glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.